I saw them swimming in the pool at night. There were three of them, and they were very young, barely children, as I too was then, just a girl. In Speziale, my sleep was continually interrupted by new sounds, the swooshing of the irrigation system, the feral cats that tussled in the grass, a bird that made the same sound over and over again. In the first summers spent at my grandmother's, it seemed I almost never slept. From the bed where I lay, I stared at the objects in the room as they receded and drew near, as if the whole house were breathing. That night I heard noises in the yard, but I didn't move right away. Sometimes the watchman came up to the house to leave a note stuck to the door. But then there were whispers and muffled laughter, and I decided to get up. Making sure my feet avoided the mosquito coil that glowed from the floor, I went to the window and looked down. I was too late to see the boys undressing, but in time to catch the last of them slipping into the black water. I could make out their heads, two that were darker and one that looked like silver. Apart from that, seen from where I stood, they were almost identical, moving their arms in circles to keep afloat. There was a kind of tranquility in the air after the tramontana had subsided. One of the boys started playing dead man in the middle of the pool. I felt my throat burn at the sudden sight of his nakedness. Even though he was only a shadow, more my imagination than anything else. He arched his back and somersaulted into a dive. When he re-emerged and gave a shout, his silver-haired friend slapped his face to shut him up. "You hurt me, you idiot," the one who had somersaulted said loudly. The other boy shoved him under the water. Then the third one also jumped on him. I was afraid they were beating one another up, that someone might drown, but instead they broke apart, laughing. They sat on the edge of the pool over by the shallow end, their wet backs turned to me. The boy in the center, the taller one, reached out and draped his arms around the other's shoulders. They talked quietly, but I was able to catch a few words here and there. For a moment, I thought about going down and sinking into the steamy night with them. The seclusion I felt at Speziale left me hungry for any human contact, but at 14 I didn't have the nerve for certain things. I suspected that they were the boys from the neighbouring property, even though I had only ever seen them from a distance. My grandmother called them the kids from the Masseria. Then the creaking of bedsprings. A cough. My father's rubber flip-flops slapping on the floor. Before I could call out to the boys to run, he was rushing down the stairs calling the caretaker. The light went on in the lamia, the caretaker's lodge, and Cosimo came out at the same instant my father appeared in the yard, both in their boxers. The boys had jumped out of the pool and were grabbing their scattered clothes. Leaving some behind on the ground, they started running into the darkness. Cosimo started after them, shouting, "I'll kill you, you little bastards! I'll beat your brains out!" And after a moment's hesitation, my father followed him. I saw him pick up a rock. From the darkness came a cry, then the smack of bodies against the fence. A voice barking, "No, get down from there." My heart was pounding rapidly, as if I were the one running away, the one being chased. It was a while before they came back. My father was holding his left wrist. He had a mark on his hand. Cosimo examined it closely, then pushed him into the lodge. Before he too disappeared into the house, he stared a moment at the darkness that had swallowed the invaders. The next day, at lunch, my father's hand was bandaged. He said he'd stumbled while trying to put back a magpie nest. In Speziale, he turned into a different person. In just a few days, his skin became very dark, and even his voice changed with the dialect. I felt as if I didn't know him at all. Sometimes I wondered who he really was. The engineer who in Turin always wore a suit and tie, or the man with the unkempt beard who went around my grandmother's house half naked. In any case, it was clear that my mother had chosen to marry only one of the two, and that she wanted nothing to do with the other one. She had not set foot in Puglia in years. At the beginning of August, when my father and I left to face the interminable car journey to the south, she didn't even come out of her room to say goodbye.